The outlook for Greece continues to be cloudy. This is Steve Wiseman at the Peterson Institute for International Economics with Jacob Kierkegaard, a research fellow at the Peterson Institute who's been writing a lot on our blog and elsewhere about the situation in Greece and Europe as a whole. Thanks for coming here to shed some more light on the situation.
My pleasure.
What is the current state of play in terms of the European-wide and also IMF rescue plans for Greece? Are they a done deal?
Well, yes and no. It's clear that the commitment over the weekend of the 30 billion euros by the eurozone countries is fairly credible. And when I say fairly, I mean that it the latest news coming out of Berlin actually suggests that the German government has decided that they need a full parliament, the equivalent of an open house vote and roll call vote for this loan to be approved, which obviously, with Germany heading into a very important regional election on May 9th, is a significant political problem. And the other issue is that there is certain to be a constitutional challenge, a legal challenge with the German Constitutional Court about the legality of this of the German government entering into this deal.
And the basis for that challenge?
The basis for that challenge is that the German Constitutional Court has previously ruled that it was only legal, essentially, for the German government or the Kohl government, Chancellor Kohl back in the 90s, to give up the Deutschmark if the Deutschmark was replaced with a system of a monetary system or the euro, which also at its basic pillar had stability. Monetary stability, meaning basically no inflation, but critically in this case also an ironclad guarantee that there could be no bailout of a country like Greece, and therefore no moral hazard, and that is essentially the basis for this for such a lawsuit.
I'm not sure what the German word is for bailout, but you could call it something other than a bailout. Is that how they're getting out around the authorities in Germany who negotiated this deal? Is that how they're going to try and get around this?
Well, yeah. I mean, they're trying all sorts of things. Obviously, they refer to it as a bilateral loan offered to Greece at what they say is market rates. I mean, that's obviously patently wrong. It's significantly below what Greece would have been able to lend at in the markets. But I think the fundamental premise here is that they're basically arguing that there's no risk involved in this because the loan is sure to be repaid. And I think when you look at what has happened this week, I have to say that personally, I have become significantly more pessimistic because of events this week. You really have to question at this point, or I have started to question for the first time, whether or not Greece is able to do this without being forced through a debt restructuring.
So you see two problems. One is the legal problem of trying to get parliamentary approval in Germany. But you're mentioning a larger problem, which is can Greece go through the austerity measures demanded of it and other steps without a debt restructuring that is the equivalent of, I suppose, some kind of default or bankruptcy proceeding?
Yeah. I think to answer the first question about the – I think the German government will probably win the first vote in parliament so that the initial German share of the 30 billion, which is 8 point something billion euros, that will go through. But the issue is that it will be a little bit like TARP in the U.S. and bailouts. It will simply be, okay, we might give you this, but don't come back for seconds. There's no way that the German, in my interpretation at least, also partly related to this legal challenge, there's no way that they're going to get an additional approved for additional loan. And that
additional loan meaning in 2011?
Yeah. Yeah, this exactly ties into the second part of your question, which is that So far, Greece has basically been promised $30 billion with an additional sort of potential $15 from the IMF. That's still to be negotiated. But that's only for 2010. And that that essentially is equal to at least 50% of the total refinancing needs of Greece. Actually, significantly more than that.
Over how many years?
For the rest of 2010.
So that's only 50% for this year alone.
Yeah, it's I don't remember the exact numbers, but it's at least 50%. It's actually significantly. It's probably a little more than that. But the point is, and this is really why the longer-term issue has become more sort of, to me, actually looms larger after this week. The key sort of piece of information was that even after the Eurozone had shown its hand and committed credibly to help Greece financially through 2010, the Greek government on Monday issued some very short-term bills of 6 months and 12 months maturity. And you would think, given that they had just received assurances for funding over this period, essentially a Eurozone guarantee for at least the short-term debt, that they would be able to borrow money in the markets at very low risk. But actually, they had to pay 4.5%. Between 4.5% and 5% for this incredibly short maturity, and that is just demonstratively not sustainable, and that raises the question: if there's essentially no effect of the committed official financial assistance, if that has no effect on the interest rates that Greece can get in the financial markets. We are essentially now in a situation where if Greece if Greece were to be able to refinance its any of its debt, it would have to be done at significantly lower rates. It would have to come exclusively, essentially, from official sources, meaning the IMF and the Eurozone. And that's where, as I said, keeping in mind what is going on, as we talked about earlier in Germany, you know, don't come back for seconds. There was another rumor in the German press earlier this week that said that, well, actually, the real number wasn't 30 billion. It was actually 90 billion euros over the three-year period. So it's like 30, 30, 30. And if that's true,
And it probably is.
Well, exactly. I mean, if you look at the Greek refinancing numbers, and as I said, if you then say that, well, you know, markets will only lend to Greece at unsustainable rates, they would have to be essentially the Eurozone, the European Union, or the IMF, or some combination thereof, would essentially have to guarantee the entire Greek foreign debt. And I think that's just not sustainable.
And how much? And that would be in the
That takes us into significantly above $100 billion over this three-year period, perhaps as high as $150 billion. And you know that kind of commitment, I think, is very hard for me to see politically sustained. And it still doesn't get into the issue of how is Greece going to be able to ever repay its debt? Because it has to be kept also in mind that the earlier plan, so to speak, to bring back Greece's public finances from the brink that the Eurozone basically told the Greeks to implement talks about a 4% reduction in the deficit this year, another 4% next year, and then in 2012, there is a chance that we'll get down below 3% and then of deficit, and then maybe in 2013 you can go back to a surplus. And you know, with the dynamics we've just talked about, the way financial markets are looking at that, keeping in mind again that, you know, Greece already has about 130% debt to GDP. That is not a sustainable path. That is simply not going to be that's not going to be feasible to continue to add on to the 130% debt stock we already have today for the next couple of years. And just another point on that, which also brought me sort of more into the bearish camp, was that there was some pretty unambiguous statements made by both ECB President Trichet and also, in fact, the managing director of the IMF, which both answered when they were asked about whether or not Greece should actually go into deflation. They both said unequivocally yes, that was essentially the way that Greece would have to regain its external competitiveness by simply lowering prices and wages. And I think it's politically there is clearly a precedent for that in the Eurozone. We saw it in Ireland. We saw it in Latvia. And in both cases, I would actually argue that it has basically worked.
But can it work in Greece?
Well, exactly. That's exactly the issue, because the key thing here is that both Latvia and Ireland, the key issue in my opinion, is that they were relatively low debt countries when they basically went down this deflationary path, which means that it doesn't matter so much that their GDP shrinks because they only have 40% in the case of 40 to 60%, depending on how you treat bank liabilities in Ireland. But they have a much lower debt stock than Greece. So if the denominator shrinks a little bit, it doesn't actually matter so much as it does for Greece. Because obviously, if Greek GDP were to shrink by, 10, 15, 20%, as we've seen it in Latvia, well, then when the mountain you carry on your shoulders is already 130.
Yeah. So
the ratio becomes unsustainable.
Let me ask you, you mentioned something about restructuring Greek debt as a final question. How would that happen if it were to happen? Maybe it makes sense, but who are the debtors? Who are the creditors?
This is of course an added layer of complexity, because which clearly also plays into why the German government has been in favor of this ultimately, which is that the majority of at least to the degree that you're able to see who in the available data who actually owns Greek debt outside of Greece, a lot of it is held by Greek banks domestically, but the share that's held externally is actually about 70% of that is held by other Eurozone banks.
You mean 70% of the total or 70% of the external?
70% of the external debt is held by German banks, which according to the BIS latest data has about 40 billion euro exposure, and French banks, which has about 70 to 75. And obviously they would be among the large creditors, which obviously is also why the German government and the French government, who earlier in this crisis clearly guaranteed the survival of these large banks, they're basically sitting back and they're asking themselves to a degree, okay, would we rather give them money as bilateral loans to Greece to avoid a default, or have to bail out our own banks again in the event of a default? Mm. So that's sort of like a choose your poison scenario, you could say, from the perspective of the German taxpayer. But it raises a whole host of issues in terms of the preferred ranking of these creditors, because obviously if you at this late stage in this crisis all of a sudden have the IMF and or the Eurozone come in as substantial creditors, at least from the perspective the Eurozone, I mean, in a political sense, I think it's unavoidable that they will become sort of a super preferred
sure.
Creditor
sure.
vis-a-vis Greece.
If they have good lawyers negotiating the loan agreement, they will.
Yeah, but I mean, you know, they have considerable leverage over Greece, also as members, fellow members of the EU and other fora, other European fora, and this is clearly something that must, you know, play into the minds of, you know, non-Eurozone private sector creditors in holding Greek debt, which would presumably want to get rid of that, which takes us to another complicating aspect, which is that no one really knows how much of this Greek debt is actually held by the European Central Bank as collateral. But there's no doubt that there is a significant amount of that, not only the ones that was ultimately transferred to it by foreign banks, but also the debt that that was initially bought by Greek banks, domestic Greek banks, and then used as collateral with the ECB. So how this is ultimately going to play out and who's going to have to be paying what and take what haircut, which, as you said, will be a substantial haircut if it comes to it, will be, you know, very also the role of the ECB will be very important here, because they ultimately probably hold a significant amount of this outstanding debt that will have to be restructured.
I've always been curious about the term haircut, because a haircut really doesn't hurt when you're having one, but this one will.
Undoubtedly, there'll be a lot of egos bruised, and there'll be a lot of
body parts.
Yeah, a lot of other body parts will come out of this with significant bruises.
Jacob Kierkegaard, thank you. We'll be back to talk about this continuingly dramatic.
I'm afraid so. Yeah. Although I will say just absolutely finally, the one good piece of news this week seems to be that the contagion effect on other Eurozone countries has actually been very limited. So Greece now seems to be more of an outlier than it looked just a few weeks ago, and I think that's very important. And that may in fact mean that it will we will be talking about Greece very soon, but hopefully not about other European countries.
Thanks, Jacob.